I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Mary Kershaw. She is the director of the New Mexico Museum of Art. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
It's a real pleasure to be here.
One thing that's going on right now at the New Mexico Museum of Art, which is right on the plaza, which is a great destination for both visitors and for residents of Santa Fe and of New Mexico, one of the things that's going on right now is that every exhibition that you have in the museum right now is from the museum's collection.
That's right.
That's unusual.
Well, my understanding is that this is the first time it's ever happened. I'm sure there's someone out there who might know differently, and they could let me know. I'd be pleased to hear. But I understand that it's the first time the entire museum, including the big new wing where we do our big exhibits, all of it is given over to the material in our collection.
So tell us about that collection and how it came together. First of all, how old is the museum?
The museum was formed in 1917, so we're sort of looking our centennial in the eye, which is an interesting moment to be here. And the collection came together. Initially, the museum was built so that living artists could exhibit there, which was very unusual at the time. And then artists would donate material to the collection so that it amassed a collection of Southwestern art. And then over the years, we've continued to both buy and receive gifts into the collection.
Do you have Santa Fe and New Mexico collectors who then will their collections to the museum?
Yes, indeed. We have people who both bequeath works to us and people who donate works in their lifetime. And, for example, if you come around case studies from the Bureau of Contemporary Art, which is our contemporary art show from the collection, you'll see a number of different ways in which works have come to us, partly gifts from the artist, partly gifts from major collectors, and just partly gifts from owners.
Buying art at this time in history is an interesting thing because there was a moment where, I think starting around the 1980s, much of the art that was bought in the art world by famous artists became so expensive that even museums couldn't buy art.
Yeah.
So a Picasso was only available to basically a Japanese billionaire and some oil sheiks and people like that.
That's absolutely true. I mean, luckily, Picasso is not within our collecting policy.
Right.
So we're not too bad there. But this is where museums really do have to work very hard when there's a piece they want to acquire, to raise additional funds to acquire it, or to work with collectors who have these works and then will eventually place them in a museum.
What is the collecting policy for the New Mexico Museum? So are you focused on New Mexico and New Mexico-related art specifically, or does it go wider than that?
That's a really, really good question, and it's one of the things we're grappling with just at the moment. We are redefining our collecting policy. And it's partly because the nature of this place is so unusual and changing. So here we are in New Mexico, which has a wonderful history of artists coming here. But it also has a number of artists who have come and gone away and been influenced by New Mexico. And it has a number of artists who are represented here by commercial art galleries, private art galleries, or major collectors here. And all of that now is part of the art scene of New Mexico. So we are grappling with the question of how do we reflect that in a meaningful way in our collecting policy. So we're trying to keep it rooted to a collection that is relevant to New Mexico, but defining what relevant to New Mexico means is an interesting task.
Right. There's a question also that I think comes up in any museum of balance and the balance of both medium and time periods and genres of work. And when something is, when you're a little low on something, you kind of have to beef up that part of your collection if it's possible.
That's right. That's right. And part of the name change that happened with the Museum of Art, because all of you who've been here longer than I have will know the museum as the Fine Art Museum.
Right.
And the name change was partly to reflect the definition of art being a bit more broad than really just pictures on canvas or works on paper. So we do collect ceramics and glass and fiber art as well as the more traditional fine arts.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the definition of what comprises fine art is expanding anyway. I mean, fibers and fiber art and textiles and ceramics and glass and so on are coming to be seen as just as good as and important as sculpture and oil paintings.
Very much so, very much so. And the whole sort of distinction that people got hung up on 10, 20 years ago about is it craft or is it art is really kind of disappearing.
So tell us about some of the shows that are, some of the exhibitions that are in the New Mexico Museum of Art right now.
Well, I've mentioned case studies from the Bureau of Contemporary Art.
Which is a great format. It sort of looks like, what, Soviet style name tags and things like that.
Absolutely. It's sort of playing off the idea that we're a state institution, so there's a sort of expectation of bureaucracy and how that bureaucracy sort of intersects with contemporary art. And the interpretation is a really fun way in to contemporary art and some really high quality and some very challenging contemporary works and some very accessible. But the interpretation has a sort of Monty Python-esque feel to it as well.
Right. So that's one.
That's one. We've got How the West is Won, which is our ongoing display of Southwestern art.
One, O-N-E.
O-N-E,
How
yes.
the West is One. Okay.
How the West is One. And what that does is it pulls together the various traditions that have influenced the creation of artwork in this state for about the past century. So you've got Native threads, you've got Hispanic threads, and you've got the Anglo threads coming in together and looking at how they've all intersected through time. So that's a wonderful and a wonderfully rooted show in New Mexico. And then upstairs we've got our display of O'Keeffe's, which has been ongoing for a little while, and two new shows. One is our prints, Works on Paper, by Jean Kloss and BJO Nordfeldt, which have just recently been rematted and conserved. So we're sort of showcasing how we're caring for the collection. And the other one is a lovely whimsical display from the photography collection, and it's called Cloudscapes, and it's works from New Mexico looking at clouds, and it's got some fantastic photographers from Ansel Adams and Elliot Porter, Laura Gilpin, right up to more contemporary works. So it's spanning the way people have appreciated the cloudscapes, which are very special in New Mexico.
There's something that I find fascinating about that, which is that clouds, if you think about something that you want to take that is a photograph you want to take that is impersonal, I mean, clouds are this form that happens in nature that has nothing to do with human beings, and yet when you look at a Stieglitz cloudscape or a Laura Gilpin cloudscape, can you tell the personality of the photographer from the picture of the clouds?
I don't know that I would say I could tell the personality of the photographer. I think for me what comes across, and it's a very personal reaction, is more the mindset of the photographer at that moment in time. There's a wonderful Laura Gilpin photograph, which is really stormy and dark, and the intensity of color and the contrast is really strong. And I just felt that she was at an emotionally heightened moment. Now, that might be total fiction.
Right.
But that's what comes across to me when I look at that photograph.
We're talking to Mary Kershaw, director of the New Mexico Museum of Art. What do you do to help young people, our school children and visitors who are discovering art for maybe the first time, to encounter exhibitions like the ones you have up right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that we're doing is we're really enhancing our presence on the internet, and that's giving a lot of background information to our collections and to the museum and other ways into looking at works of art.
And when it's interesting, I was looking at some of the objects that you have. There was a Louise Nevelson picture that I clicked on. And on the one hand, a kid can go and look at that and say, wow, that's cool. And on the other hand, when you click on that picture, and even looking at the different angles, almost as if it were like a Zappos shoe thing, you can see it from every angle.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to go in and see the real thing.
Mm-hmm. That's really what we aim at. You know, there was a bit of a debate a few years ago about would the internet sort of replace people coming to see museums? And I actually think it's exactly the opposite. I think if we get that kind of information and excitement out there, outside our walls, it does. It increases the appetite. I really want to go see this. And then it kind of, I think, also increases the experience when people see it. It's a little bit like if you read a book that's set in a location and you really love that book, then you go there. It enhances your experience of both the book and the location. Right. So if people have looked at the information that we have on the web and different ways in, and they really enjoy a picture, then when they come to see it, it means that much more to them.
And there is something about seeing something for the second and third and fourth time that makes it richer.
Yes, very much so. And that, I think, is the mark of a really good work of art, that every time you look at it, you see something else or you get something else from it. And that's part of what I think a museum is well placed to help people to discover. Because not everyone really has that skill set. Unless you grow up looking at works of art and really appreciating them, it's not, you sort of look at something and maybe you think, well, that's it. So helping people to interrogate pictures and really look at what else they can get out of them, I think, is a function of a museum that's really important.
And it helps so much to be in conversation with somebody. Like, I would think that if I were bringing in a school bus full of kids, I would have them pair off or go in groups of threes and talk about and discuss what some picture might mean, because there's always something that somebody else can come up with that enhances your own visual abilities.
Absolutely, absolutely. The sort of social aspect of interrogating a picture or visiting a museum is terrific. And when I came away earlier, there was a group of school children in the case studies exhibit, and they were fairly young kids and interrogating contemporary art in a really interesting way.
That's a good case study in itself, that interrogation.
It certainly is.
Now, you have on the internet something called New Mexico Art Tells New Mexico History. How does that work?
Well, that is a website that we developed in consultation with teachers. And we had the idea that it was possible to look at the history of this state through pictures in our collection. And it was an unusual way for us to look at art, but also it was an unusual way to teach history and just kind of gave a different angle to it. So we've got four themes on that site that explore the history of New Mexico, and there's benchmarks and standards and all the stuff that teachers need to use it as part of the curriculum. But it's also a site that anyone who just has a casual interest in New Mexico history can look at the history of the state through pictures.
There's much more to talk about. There's a preview of the next major show, which is called Earth Now. Will we be able to talk about when is that show opening?
That show's opening on the 8th of April.
Ah, can we get you on between now and then to talk about that show?
I think you certainly could.
Good, because we're just about out of time. Mary Kershaw is the director of the New Mexico Museum of Art, and the website, which is really very wonderful, is nmartmuseum.org. And the museum is open 6 days a week.
It is, and in the summer, 7 days a week.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Pleasure.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.